Not having internet issues this week, knock on wood, so that's good.
For now. Can you play in the intro?
Ah, shit. Yeah, I am. Welcome to episode 478 of the Beer Fueled Podcast. I am your host, at Beer Fueled Hop with two P's, Chris Hopper. As always, joined by at Beer Fueled 30 and at Ryan Renner underscore FFP.
What a good way to start out.
I think episode 500 is going to be either the smoothest episode of all time,
It's gonna be the only
or
one I
it's
get
gonna
right.
be the true like encapsulation of our storied history, and just be saying using the round drops for beer review and beer preview
If
and
Nick's here, I'm gonna do it just to piss him off.
do you still have the Nick sound bites? Because I feel like
I
that's
do.
gonna be bust out. That's what we call winning.
I still have everything.
Yeah, that's gonna be
Almost.
I think episode 500 I'll have to take my next day off because I feel like it's gonna be like a half a work day
I have a
podcast.
feeling there's gonna be multiple beers drank.
We'll
We'll
probably
make
just
it the
do
longest
it.
episode
We'll probably
for
just
no
do it on a
reason.
Friday so we can all be hungover the next day without consequence.
I'll have a puke bucket, that'd be great audio.
Right.
Well, that's happened
Was
before. That's happened before, Dan. That
it me?
legendary New Year's up. Somebody's puke. No,
That
it
was
was
the
me.
live draft. I puked the next day. That
No,
was the live draft.
it was me when we were doing the Does Ranch Go on Everything?
Oh, that's right. That was a legendary episode. Like nobody
That
listened to. That was
was
perfect. I
terrible.
listened to it.
That
They
one
ended the year. I did puke on
and the
camera
random
for
weekday, you got hammered after trivia, and you got like almost all your predictions right for that week.
Yeah, but I couldn't say my beer name.
You
So
couldn't say names in general.
episode 478. We've got Derrick Henry number of episodes left. Love it.
Wee Yahoo! Yeah.
22.
22. And four, we'll have Kirk Cousins' number of episodes left because Kyle Pitts
Eight.
asked for targets in exchange for number eight, and Cousins is like, "Nah, fam, I'll just take 18."
They're going wide receiver at pick eight, confirmed now.
We're just doing a news episode for you. It's kind of one of those weird weeks where we're not close enough to the draft for me to want to start that yet. But we're kind of through the heat of free agency and things like that. So we're a TBD on the calendar for this, and TBD is just going to end up being a news episode and kind of making it easy on ourselves.
What are
So,
you talking about?
but
It's kickoff to March Madness.
yeah, right.
Today was the
We're
day.
college goal line eye,
Or you,
but
yesterday, if you're listening.
are we going to talk Shohei Ohtani too and all that weird bullshit, or are we going to make this a
Who?
variety show?
If you want to. I mean,
I
it's
don't play
kind of
crap.
culturally impacted. I mean, if we're going to talk about that, we got to talk about was it NBA TV going to start broadcasting live odds during
Oh, yeah, I saw that
Their
too.
programs, because there's not already a betting problem in sports. Let's
Right.
also target the young 20 audience who can't afford to gamble. Let's be real,
Right.
that already have gambling issues because of the accessibility of being able to gamble on literally anything you want, and then highlight it as a major company. I have so much wrong with what they're doing or what they'll
If I could bet
potentially do.
on LeBron flopped, I'd be freaking poor because I'd probably be right. Actually, I'd probably be rich. Never mind.
I'm gonna
I
bet on how
think.
many times, say Gilchrist will flop into a foul because ethical basketball is not real.
Anymore. Nope. Not at all. Especially with that one Foster guy, apparently.
That one Foster guy.
Scott Foster.
Scott, yeah. Fuck him. Game was so bullshit.
Yeah. The Ohtani thing's just weird before we get to football. Like that whole thing is just straight odd. So are you familiar with the ins and outs of that one yet?
Yeah. You want to just highlight it
Yeah.
for
I'll run
for
it
the
through.
people that may not.
The Dodgers fired Ohtani's interpreter. And it came out, the story right now has evolved. The original story was that the interpreter racked up $450 million in gambling debt. One of Otani's people, and that Otani, not 450, $4 million in gambling, $4.5 million in gambling debt.
I was about to say, holy crap, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, $4.5 million in gambling debt, which is still a lot of money. Yeah. And the story is that Otani paid that. So Otani's name came up in an investigation of an illegal California sports book as having transferred a large sums of money to that account. The initial story was that Otani had lent his interpreter the $4.5 million or gave it to him to pay off his gambling debt and completely cover that. The interpreter was made available for a 90-minute discussion with ESPN and other news outlets by one of, this is as I understand the story right now, by one of Otani's people. After that happened, with the Dodgers being in Korea, I guess the interpreter let the team know there would be a story coming out and breaking that was not positive. At that point, it's reported that Otani started to put two and two together and realized that, you know, this interpreter may have stolen money from him. And then Otani's attorneys released a statement before the stories could drop, basically disavowing everything the interpreter had said in those interviews, and basically said, no, this is an issue of massive theft, and asked the authorities to start probing that.
Oh boy.
It seems to me like this doesn't pass the smell test to me. This feels like dude's being made a fall guy to me. Because for all of this to be true, you have to believe that one, Otani, he who just signed a $500 million contract, gave his interpreter full access to his bank accounts to be able to make those wire transfers without his knowledge or consent to this betting site. And that the interpreter decided to lie to the Dodgers, the news outlets, the representation, and everyone, thinking that Otani didn't stand English well enough to pick up on the fact that that's what was going on and think he could get away with it. To me, this feels like a fall guy scenario.
Definitely feels odd.
It does.
But should be said one other thing here. The one thing that is not being disputed is that no bets were made on baseball. It was soccer, it was American football, and it was some Japanese sporting events, but no bets were made on baseball.
Well, at least that's good.
Interpreter now says that Otani had no idea any of this was going on. So I don't know. That whole thing does not, I'm interested to see how that plays out with the police probe and everything, because this does not pass a sniff test, man.
No.
All right.
Interesting.
Let's talk about what we're drinking.
What's fueling beer fueled?
All right, I'll go first. Hipsters versus Lumberjacks from Noon Whistle Brewing Company. It's a red ale with vanilla in it. Noon Whistle out of Lombard, Illinois, up by Chicago. Short and sweet.
I wonder how well it compares to Vanilla Bitch Slap then. Sounds very familiar.
I will. Do you want the spoiler or do you want to wait?
We'll wait. No, wait. That was more thinking out loud. We'll wait. Ryan, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Dark Horse Brewing's Scotty Karate Scotch Ale. They're out of Marshall, Michigan here. So
I love,
picked it up today. I was like, got to try that.
Yeah, they're out here. I
love Scotty Karate.
It's good. I wish they do a little. I wish they were kind of being phased out when I took over. Yeah. Better to take over more beer side when I worked for Benny's, but see them every now and then still.
Had that one back in the day.
Yeah. I am drinking Urban Chestnuts, which is out of St. Louis, Missouri. Urban Underdog, lime version. So this is a lager beer with lime. Natural flavors.
There you go.
Obviously, you know, the can will also indicate that as well.
Because it's giantly green and it's in lime.
Because it's exceptionally green. Yeah. It's very much... drink this beer at St. Patty's.
It's a green label on what is normally just a silver label.
Data. Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. Let's Ryan Suggs asking him.
Let's listen.
Big one?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nope, don't be. This is fun.
No, hold on.
I think it's over.
Okay. Making sure. All right.
Great podcast moments.
More on that.
In beer field history.
News.
Hey, turn the drops on for you guys.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, starting off, Tush Push, not going to be banned this season, which is good because banning that would have been stupid.
I can't wait for Saquon Barkley to be paid $12 million a year to make sure Jalen Hurts gets he has 12 touchdowns at the goal line.
Hey, man, you got to pay those quads that kind of money, all right?
Dude, I can't wait for them to both line up in the same spot somehow.
Jason Kelce.
Good luck figuring out.
Yeah, Jason Kelce just retired, and they decided, okay, we don't need to ban this anymore.
That's right. Because the 92% is about to come down somehow, some way.
That's right. And they're going to have to change their fan base name. Now we're only the 88% now.
That's a
whole
so
new sweatshirt special line. We are now the 83.4%.
Now, when you retire, you take it with you. So it stays 92%.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Paris Campbell to the Ink Eagles, literally only so I could say Paris Campbell's name once this year.
Well, I'm sure you can say it again. He's like, God damn it. Should have started Paris Campbell.
I have a number. I mean, I guess he's our number three receiver.
He's probably kicker. He's probably going to play more special teams.
So he
Probably.
We know they've got a 1 and a 2 and a tight end and a pass catching running back.
They got two of them.
Two. So targets are not exactly.
Yeah, it's not like. Yeah.
He would. Devontae Parker is also there.
He's there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he just signed.
When the fuck did that happen?
Last week.
Friday.
I guess. All right. Devontae Parker.
Still alive.
Eagle. Taking the Julio Jones role of doing nothing.
Hey, if you can pay me to do
nothing,
he's
going to steal like. He's gonna steal like three touchdowns, and we're all gonna complain about it like during the fucking fantasy playoffs again, like what Julio did.
Yep. So yeah, he'll be special teams mostly. Browns have signed running back Deonta Foreman. This is interesting, especially for redraft leagues, because we're watching Nick Chubb's health closely. He had to have I believe he underwent a second surgery later in the year last year. Effectiveness and ability to play at the beginning of this year are very, very much going to be in question. We also oftentimes see running backs coming back off of knee injuries like this hurt other parts of their legs, hamstrings and quads, notably, from trying to favor that. And Deonta Foreman's a really good complement to that running style. I actually like this landing spot for him. It's a redraft only play, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he'll be the true primary backup to Nick Chubb. Jerome Ford should keep his third down role, his kind of change of pace role.
I think Jerome Ford is the RB2 no matter what. I think it's Deonta Foreman's more of insurance policy.
Foreman can also be, you know, short area work and maybe get a goal line, a couple goal line snaps. So, yeah. Ford wasn't he was productive, but it was more so on volume than really anything else.
Right.
He wasn't very efficient last year either.
Yep.
As a pure runner, I believe.
I believe that's correct, but since we got some time to fill, let me just go ahead and fact check that.
Let's vet that. I feel like.
All right. Jerome Ford last year, he. I think you're pretty spot on. 4 yards an attempt, so that's pretty meh. 50 yards a game. 63 targets, 44 receptions, 319 yards. And that may be more of the role there for him is his receiving work because Deonta Foreman doesn't do any of that. But first and second now in a Chubb camp go, looking at game by game, you did have had some good weeks for Ford, but really coming over the back part of the season, he peaked at 64 yards against the Jets. Was the high water mark there? So I mean, it's not like he's firmly entrenched by any means.
Last
100-yard game was week 9.
Yeah, 3 games of over 100 total yards. Obviously, Bacon in receiving yards in week 6 and 7. He eclipsed 90, didn't hit the 100 mark. Like his, again, this is really volume in terms of overall, you know, touches in this offense. But Deonta Foreman is not gonna, you know, supplant him as their pass catcher, and that's never been Nick Chubb's calling card. So his job's insulated, and as Ryan said, he could be the firm two. And
yeah,
we'll kind of get an idea where Nick Chubb's at, you know, for this season. Really makes, you know,
as we get into OTAs and training camp, we'll get updates.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Marvin Harrison Jr. did not participate in pro day anything. Change anything at all? Team's just going
to
be comfortable.
This guy literally nothing to gain from doing anything. Like,
yeah, nothing to gain, more to lose.
This is fine. He's got nothing to gain and all to lose. So I'm fine with this. I think this is smart.
I agree.
I know it sucks for us numbers guys. We wish to get something, but I mean,
yeah.
Again, when you're being told constantly all year and even last year that you're going to be
top
wide receiver and a top 10 pick, top 5 pick even.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays, like
there's no reason.
If there is any like inkling that he wasn't going to be a top half, then he probably does test. But again, there's really nothing to gain from this.
And there's more of a risk of getting hurt, right? It's not a Caleb Williams situation where you're doing scripted quarterback throws and you know you're not in any real like big risk of injury. If there's a wide receiver running agility drills or you know routes or anything like that, there's marginal risk there. It's not huge, but I mean, it could still cost him several million dollars should something go wrong.
I mean, so. We saw, was it the Michigan, Ryan, guy, their pass rusher that tore his Achilles during their pro day a couple years ago?
Yeah, it was a couple years ago. Yeah, what the heck was his name? I know exactly what you're talking about. He
was drafted by Baltimore. I know that. I don't remember his name though, but he was considered a first round pick. He was potentially going to go first round, and you know there's risks. There's still risk into those things, and as Hopper mentioned, like there's a lot more money to lose than there is to gain.
David Ojabo, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
first round pick. Hurt himself during his pro day, 2022, 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Fact-checking you only get on these episodes.
Ah! We do the work while we record.
Yeah. Jets have signed former Chargers wide receiver Mike Williams to a 1-year deal. I don't know. It's as good. Like, if Rodgers is healthy, it's as good of a shot as anyone else to slot in as wide receiver too, I guess.
Yeah, but his Achilles, his ACL...
Yeah,
and look at the field he's gonna be playing at. So
he'll get hurt.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. He's already hurt now.
He'll have to compete with Alan Lazard,
which I believe he was rated one of the worst receivers last year. I can't wait to watch the Aaron Rodgers vice presidency tour next year.
God.
It's gonna be great. But anyway, there's an opening for number 2 spot, I guess.
There is a receiver there in the draft. You're not going off and knocking the door down on this one, but there is potential for a wide receiver 2 productivity in that offense. If Rodgers comes back and is Rodgers, you're only talking about the football player here, not the off-field jit.
I know.
Yeah.
There's also, I mean, he's also one of the slowest-paced players during his ending times with Green Bay. Green Bay was one of the slowest-paced teams in football during that span. Like, even with Rodgers at quarterback and the Jets operated at a more efficient level, doesn't mean that Mike Williams is going to generate targets.
He's a deep ball specialist, though, too. So you got a lot of boom bust. Maybe it's the best ball play.
Is he even so? I mean, through multiple season ending injuries, is he even really a deep ball specialist at this point?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I mean,
that's what he was before. Work,
yeah. Yeah. Like, it feels like he's just going to be, I don't know what he's, I don't know.
It's
don't
a one
it matter.
It's a 1 year. Right? See what happens.
Yep.
Browns extended Jerry Jeudy 3 years, $58 million for that.
After trading for him. What was the, it was what? 2 day, three picks, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Here, Jeudy getting paid.
Here, let me fact check that.
You know, it's
he,
like we
he
have
got
time
paid,
to
but
talk.
Like, but he didn't get paid. Paid like a lot of people were like, "Oh my god, he got paid!" It's like, okay, it's what, $42 million over 3 years.
He got a lot of it's a lot of upfront guaranteed money.
He didn't get Ridley paid.
No, exactly.
It wasn't that bad.
He got paid like a number two wide receiver, which is what he is at best.
2024 fifth rounder and a 2024 sixth rounder.
It's such a just. They have a lot of flankers. They have a lot of underperforming flankers outside of, obviously, Cooper.
They do.
It's like, cool, we have Elijah Moore, and now we have Jerry Jeudy. And to be honest, I don't know who's better. I don't
either.
They paid Jeudy to play that role, so Jeudy will definitely have the opportunity to have that first. But
the convention says Jeudy, but, you know, Elijah Moore's shown productivity, right? So,
I mean, yeah. It's going to be catching great balls from Jameis Winston.
The same draft class.
No. They're 1 year apart. Moore was 21. Jeudy was 2020.
Gotcha. That's right. It all runs together.
They do. Sometimes.
Raiders signed Alexander Mattison. Yeah.
That's great for Zamir White because Alec Mattison sucks. So
yeah,
that's competition.
All Zamir White's got to do is survive the draft.
Also, which if the NFL told us anything, they're not very excited to draft running backs high in this draft class. So
no one is. So Zamir White to the moon,
I guess.
Leighton Vander Esch retired following a neck injury. He's had a history of neck injuries dating back to Boise State. 28 years old, medical retirement. So just decided that. Yeah, not worth it anymore.
Good on him. Yeah.
Good for him. Very promising rookie season and then just never found it again. Mostly due to injuries, not talent, which sucks, but good on him getting out and hopefully has a healthy and fulfilling next chapter.
Exactly.
Brown signed Tyler Huntley, I believe, to back up Watson.
They have
Jameis. No.
Jameis Winston there, too.
Jameis Winston. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going, sure.
Watson, Winston, Huntley, DTR.
I like it.
Me too. All right. Probably the biggest news of the week. Can put a rest all the Justin Fields talk. Pittsburgh acquires Justin Fields. Yeah, we can. Pittsburgh acquired Justin Fields from the Bears for a conditional sixth rounder that could turn into a fourth rounder based on certain playing time marks. Chicago is alleged to have had better offers, but made this move to do right by Fields. Bears were in contact with his representation every step of the way. It was said that Justin wanted to go to the Steelers over the other teams that were involved. You know, obviously Pittsburgh has brought in Russell Wilson on a 1 year deal. Wilson has been told that he is a starter. So it sounds like Fields will back up and learn here. Potentially. So, a lot to unpack. So first quick note, I want to talk about the note here that the Bears were alleged to have had better offers, but made this move to do right by Fields. Because it's an interesting one. Normally NFL's treated like a business and a lot of Bears fans are pissed that we didn't take the better offer. But the flip side to that is that the NFL is also a brotherhood and word of that will spread that the Bears made the effort to do right by Fields, which could prove very, very fruitful when you're trying to recruit free agents, when you're trying to get other players in. So I don't hate this. I don't hate the report. I think that this is a classy move by Poles and Ian Cunningham to get that done, because I don't think there's a wide stretch of compensation that would have done it. But so we don't know what the other offers were, but I like the move to do right by him, because that will be a tiebreaker for free agents and other people you may be trying to recruit as you build this thing.
And better offer can legitimately mean anything. Like, it could be one pick higher. It could be maybe more, maybe a higher conditional return if certain areas are met. Like, it's it should be highlighted, as you mentioned, that the Bears did, you know, Fields right, right? They met his, you know, they met his ass, and they were able to make it work. And that's really that story. I still question, because we hear quarterbacks being given, you're gonna start, and then training camp starts and QB battles start, and now, then teams change.
Russell Wilson became a starter in the first place, right?
That's how you beat all Matt Castle. Not Matt Castle, sorry.
Matt Flynn.
Look, Wilson got signed to a 1-year vetman, and Fields got traded for a late day three that could turn into an early day three pick. Like, there is no value ties to them that it's more than the other, that there's no argument to be made. One's more valuable in terms of this year than the other.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, we won't probably know until June when Pittsburgh has to make the decision to pick up his fifth year. If they do, Fields would be a top 16 paid quarterback, which is still very good at 25 mil. Like, a lot of upside. I'm the Fields guy on this show, and I will always wear that badge. I've always enjoyed and watched Justin Fields, and we'll see what comes from this. And I will say this with my chest puffed the fuck out. If you are staring in your super flex rookie drafts at drafting Michael Penix or Bo Nix, trade for Justin Fields, because the return in value from what you'll pay for him now, when he inevitably starts, which will probably at some point be this year, the value will increase, because nothing's changed with him as the actual fantasy producer. He's still 25 years old, and he still very much has insane rushing upside.
And if you're rebuilding, right? If this is a
take a shot,
because this, I mean, let's say that he does start and it does go well. Guess what? Pittsburgh just got a franchise quarterback, and they're gonna give him.
I think he's their bridge quarterback of the future.
Well, that's what I
think
mean.
He will get a 2-year deal extension if he shows anything this year.
They pick up
Jordan Love like extension.
Yeah, they pick up the fifth year option and give him a year to start after they pull Russ through, whatever that is. I mean, even if he doesn't start this year, right? I think they are going to, I don't think they trade for him if they're not picking up that fifth year option and see what happens.
There's very little to lose with this deal.
Yeah.
Like, you're losing at worst a fourth round pick, at best a sixth rounder. Like, better upside shot on him than any other quarterback you can really realistically take or expect from.
Yeah.
So,
Ryan.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, I could see, like, all right, so Russell Wilson has $1.2 million. He's an easy cut candidate. They don't lose anything with him letting him go. And getting Fields here, I mean, I don't think they're going to pick up his fifth year option, but I just see the love type of contract going through here, where it's like, you know, 1 year, we'll give you a little bit more guaranteed money as like a prove it. Because for some reason, I just feel like Russell Wilson won't be there long.
I'm with you.
He's there for this year. Like I said, I think Fields will eventually be the starter. That's why you try to make the move for Fields now, or at least maybe like after a couple of weeks when the noise settles even more.
I will say this for Pittsburgh. Good on them for recognizing that they had a quarterback problem, and good on them for getting the right lottery tickets with the defense where it's at and some decent offensive pieces to say, okay, you know, we might not have a super high draft pick because our defense carried us, but let's go grab these guys that have some perceived high upside and see what happens. You know, we know what they knew what they had in Trubisky, they let him walk. In Pickett, they traded him. In Rudolph, they haven't re-signed him. They didn't re-sign him. They knew what they had. They weren't happy with it. So they said, okay, give me Russell Wilson coming off that disaster in Denver. Maybe it was something with the scheme. Maybe it was something with the city. Maybe it was the inconsistencies in offense. Maybe he was being asked to do too much. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work, and we see that. But we also seen Russ be hyper-efficient in a game manager plus type role with Seattle's defenses, and that's really what Pittsburgh needs is game manager plus. We've seen Russ extend plays. We've seen him do some WTF stuff. And, you know, I think even last year, Russ is an upgrade over what the Steelers had. And then you bring in Fields, who very clearly has playmaking ability, and you've got some questions about, you know, what he can do as a passer. But after coming back from injury, that looked like that was starting to clean up a little bit. So if you can continue that development by putting him in that room, like, Steelers just went out and got themselves two lottery tickets at quarterback with decently high upside for $1.2 million and a day three pick.
They got more for Pickett in their trade mm-hmm. to Philly. They won this. They upgraded the quarterback spot. They upgraded the quarterback room, and they moved up 22 spots to go from a very late day two pick, round three pick, to a top 100 pick in this draft. They move up from 120 to 98. Like, they moved up from the top of the fourth round to the back end of the third round, which, again, there's still a lot of weight to that. So, mm-hmm. and obviously getting two random seventh round picks in return that could be used to, you know, navigate the draft in day three next year. So this is two very positive moves and very low risk if they don't work out. And I do believe that they'll pick up Fields this fifth year and ride out that bridge. If it doesn't work out next year, it drops and you don't have very little to lose.
Yep.
Especially with how much the salary cap increases every year. Like,
yeah,
there's very little to lose in this spot. So good on them for recognizing it.
And speaking of Pickett, Pickett apparently did not take the news that he would be QB2 to Russell Wilson well, which prompted the Steelers to make the trade to where, as I've seen several put it, he's now QB2 behind a better QB1.
I don't understand this move for Philly, because these two could not play any different style of quarterback. Well, actually, Hurst is just better at everything. So it just feels like an odd, like, he's just moving across Pennsylvania at this point.
It's like Philly just needed a backup, I guess, because, I mean, they were rolling with Tanner McKee after Mariota walked. So I think they weren't comfortable with that, knowing the style that Hurts plays, maybe.
So why not trade for Fields and let him walk and try to get the compensatory pick the following year?
Like, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it feels odd to move down. Like, they moved down into they got rid of their third, got Pittsburgh's fourth in return.
And you could have gotten Fields cheaper unless the Bears really weren't going to do it, because
that's also true. Yeah, it could be, you know, it could be Philly did offer and they said
because
you know what team surprised me on this one, though, like on this whole entire trade? It's like, if that was what Pittsburgh had to give up, why didn't New England try to trade him for him?
Well,
I mean, again, it's the same thing for Philly. Maybe they tried to, and, you know, their offer, like, I can't imagine no one offered a day two pick for Fields, because that'd be a snap to accept if you're comparing it to what they got from Pittsburgh. My guess is that every team offers some variety of, you know, for day three tick pick with conditionals tied to it, which makes sense. And they're all very similar.
Well, but I mean, looking at New England's team, though, don't you think New England is going to be worse next season?
They should have offered
Pittsburgh
if they didn't.
Exactly. Sure. Like, that's what I don't understand. Like, why they didn't do that.
They also may not have taken it, and maybe Fields didn't want to go there with New England sitting at fourth pick in the draft, right?
Yeah. They don't want to give up the value of a high day three pick, maybe. Maybe they didn't want to, you know, maybe they offered a fifth and, you know,
or
Philly's like, I mean, or
maybe just didn't want to go to a team that was perceived to be a total fucking mess right now.
That too. And you know, like I
maybe
said,
maybe you want to just really play for Mike Tomlin.
I mean, Mike Tomlin fucking loves him. That was mentioned all throughout offseason how much he likes Justin Fields and is intrigued. Pittsburgh has a winning culture, regardless of what we've seen from them the last handful of years. Tomlin's never had a team go below 500. He's made the playoffs in a lot of years in which people thought he never should or would, especially last year where no one predicted them to do shit. And yeah, he still almost made the playoffs.
Like, and it's easy to say why didn't they, because since we know there was other things at play here than just total pick bidding compensation, that you can always come back with, well, maybe they did, and the Bears weren't willing to do it because it wasn't a good fit for Fields and they were truly trying to do right by him. And that's weird in the NFL. You see that a lot more in baseball around the trade deadline than you do in the NFL. But that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Is it they probably did, and we probably don't know. It'll come to light at some point.
We'll probably never know, because I wouldn't be surprised if there's some fluff behind what they said.
Or maybe
to
we
also
will.
Make them sound better too.
Maybe we will. I can see why the Bears may not want what more compensation was getting out. Though
there's nothing to gain from knowing this. It just makes them look worse and makes it, teams involved in this look, certain ways. So,
yep. Lions extended Donovan Peoples-Jones.
They did.
Yeah, 1 year.
Yeah, it's 1 year.
How little do I know?
Yeah, I know that because I live here.
Well, sure, that makes sense.
1 year.
To play their wide receiver three role.
Wide receiver two.
He's already better than J-Mo.
Hey, now.
He's the second outside receiver. He will probably play on two receiver sets.
Yeah. He's done more. He's produced more.
He doesn't miss time. He doesn't miss time for gambling, that's for sure.
Doesn't miss time for gambling or injury.
He should.
I like it a lot, actually. I like DPJ.
It's fine. I have no.
DPJ seems like a... DPJ seems like a Dan Campbell type of player too.
Yeah, this is nothing than a fourth or fifth option move. We know the true pecking order in this receiving core.
Plus, he's only 20 minutes from home now. So
Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Laporta, and Gibbs.
Yeah,
those are your top three. And I still don't think this absolves Detroit from taking shots in the draft.
I don't either. Pittsburgh signed Van Jefferson. This is only noteworthy because they, after trading Deontay Johnson, are like George Pickens and nobody.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh is going receiver in the first round. They've got at least in the first 2 days, so they're going at least one wide receiver.
I mean, this is their room right now. It's George Pickens, Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, Des Fitzpatrick, Denzel Mims, Deuce Watts, Marquez Callaway, and... Keelan Harris.
That might be the worst wide receiver room. Next to New England's got to have the worst right now.
I think
What wide receiver room?
There's no wide receivers there. I don't think. I think there's like three or four on roster.
Kendrick Bourne, KJ Osborne, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Reagor, Tyquan Thornton, Juju.
Have you guys heard the rumors about the KJ Osborne signing to New England?
No.
So there's rumors going around on Vikings Twitter that they did this, that New England signed Osborne to help Minnesota get a round three compensatory pick for the loss of Cousins and Hunter. And then that pick will be involved with the trade.
To move up to get
involved in the trade to move up. There's obviously a lot of moving parts, and who knows how much this will actually, probably not true at all, but I found it pretty funny. Like,
internet will think of anything.
This move could help them get a round three pick
for nothing. I mean, that would be smart. The internet will think of anything.
That feels like that's 60 chess, and I don't think teams are thinking that hard.
Involved.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Vikings did make a trade to shuffle around some picks, so they're gearing up for something, and it's being reported right now by Daniel Jeremiah that they're interested in making a push for Drake May, knowing the Bears aren't going to move out of one for Caleb Williams. Apparently interested in making a move for Drake May.
Vikings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think pick two is the highest. They'll go. I doubt Washington trades back down to 11. That just doesn't make sense, just given all the news around them selecting a quarterback at two. A lot of people, there's a lot of mixed results on whether or not New England stays at three or takes a quarterback at three. And obviously the trade up, I think as far as they go is, or as low as they'll go is probably pick four. I think Arizona trades out of that spot.
Well,
and just gears up for the Kyler Murray show.
New England doesn't right now. They're rolling with Jacoby Brissett, Bailey Zappe, and Nathan Rourke.
Yeah.
At the moment,
I think the roster is doesn't. I think the roster is too bad right now. I don't want to bring in a rookie quarterback that's not Caleb Williams.
Yeah, they got to do.
I think it's good for them to move down and
go again.
Accrue at least three first round. Yeah. They're probably going to get both the first from this year's obviously class and probably next year's first.
And Washington right now is riding Marcus Mariota and Jake Fromm. So
yeah, they're going. It keeps flipping. It keeps either being May or Daniels with very little sprinkles of McCarthy too. So
yeah, that's the thing. You've got four quarterbacks that could start. So be interesting. Raiders restructured Jacoby Myers' contract just because we haven't said his name in a while. Not for any of his own doing. He had a decent year last year, but contract's been restructured for him. So yay, I guess.
I guess he got paid wide receiver two money last year, and he's wide receiver two. That did all right. I guess good for him.
Hopefully he got more. Did better than I expected.
Yeah. He probably got more guaranteed money than
he probably good did. For him. So just a note, it sounds like he'll be sticking around there is usually what that means.
Yeah.
Cowboys released Michael Gallup. What never was. Bears re-signed Dante Pettis. More special teams move. We already talked to the Eagles. I think the other biggest piece of news here, causing offensive linemen to rejoice everywhere, and we will end with this one before the beer review so we can finish our beers for this gentleman. Aaron Donald announced his retirement from the NFL after 10 seasons.
Quarterbacks are happy right now.
Linemen are happy right now.
Linemen
that
are happy.
Too.
According
that
to
too.
On New Heights, Jason Kelsey did a good job of covering why Donald didn't have better numbers, and it's essentially because he's the only... According to Jason Kelsey, who's been around for a while, he's the only defensive player, not even Micah Parsons, that the whole offensive game plan revolves around just don't let him wreck you. Double team him on everything, chip him on everything, and that is part of the value that doesn't show up on the stat sheet for Aaron Donald, which is that you have to commit so many resources to blocking him that frees up other guys and other things to happen. So,
and I think the only reason why he didn't get more defensive player of the year's award is because of voter fatigue. Like,
yeah,
he had strings of years more than he could have had if that wasn't the case. He's a legend. He's obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer, and right now, you know, up there with the greatest defensive players, not just D line, but in general, the greatest defensive players this league has ever seen.
Yeah,
like he's got to be talked about in the same vein as a Reggie White. Yes, they played different styles on the defensive line, but disruptors in their own rights at their own during their own era. Like,
yep,
we may never see another Donald. Just I couldn't believe the Vikings passed him up for fucking Anthony Barr. That'll always
the Vikings. The Lions passed him up too.
Yeah, I think he was picked 13, 12 teams passed him up. He was mocked there so much during that process. I followed that draft here a lot. Yeah, it's just, God, just what could have been.
The Rams,
man,
in the first round of the 2014 NFL draft, the players that went ahead of him, ready?
Yep.
Jadeveon Clowney. Total dream.
God. With?
Yep. Greg Robinson.
Third team for him now.
Greg Robinson, who was a tackle in St. Louis.
Yep.
Blake Bortles.
Jesus himself.
Jesus himself. Wow. Okay, you can justify that one. Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. Man, if injuries, just injuries. And I think just Buffalo was a fucking shit show at that point.
Actually,
that was the wide receiver dominant class. That was arguably the greatest wide receiver class.
This is actually
a
pretty fucking good draft. Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Not bad. Jake Matthews, the Atlanta tackle, not bad.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, not bad.
Not bad.
Another Hall of Famer. Defensive back, Justin Gilbert. Okay, that didn't pan out. Anthony Barr, Eric Ebron. That's who
Detroit. Back to back. I mean, Barr, pretty historic Viking during his own time in its own right. But, man, that was there's a lot of conversation post-draft about wanting to take Donald instead of Barr, and a lot of fans were pissed.
Yep.
Yeah, Brickhand freaking Ebron.
You guys just don't learn about taking tight ends high. You guys go on Brock Bowers?
Thinking about it. Should. Trade up for
he
him.
He makes it to you guys in the late 20s.
No, we're just going to trade up for him.
That's see. Right. We're going to run like, we're gonna run a 12 personnel system.
Like Hugo, Minnesota, hold our beer. We're moving up too.
Taylor Lewan and then Odell Beckham. All ahead of him. So, I mean.
I realized Beckham went that high.
And Beckham was 112. Wow. The Giants. Pick ahead of him.
Wide receiver years. Fucking nuts, man.
Immediately after him, just because this is, I want to just push how impressive this class was when it's not the quarterbacks. Kyle Fuller to the Bears, Ryan Shazier, Zach Martin, CJ Mosley right after that. And then it kind of falls off. Brandon Cooks is in that first round. Johnny Manziel, Darquez Denard, Jason Verrett.
Kelvin Benjamin.
And Marcus Smith. Kelvin Benjamin was a first round pick. Oh my God.
Yep.
Jimmy Ward.
He was the most productive receiver in year one. Yeah. Jimmy one of the most productive receivers, excuse me.
Jimmy Ward, Bradley Roby, Teddy Bridgewater.
That was also big news. The trade up for Bridgewater.
Oh yeah,
that was a pretty.
I was
good
all excited.
Pretty good first round.
Dubai, historically good, I think. At least a recent historically good.
As long as it looks like one of the smartest ones.
2020 looks pretty promising now, but we'll see.
There are definitely some
2021.
There are definitely some misses there, but I mean, not a ton.
It's very hard to assume you're going to have 32 hits.
When 2/3 of the first round is guys that hung around the league, as long as they did. I mean, really, let's see.
Probably the best non-quarterback position dominance in the first round, obviously, because there's no good, outside of Jesus himself, there were really no other quarterbacks in that class.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Manziel, I guess, if you count that, but Jesus himself.
Sad story. Real sad story. You could, like, man, if he came into the NFL today,
Manziel or Bortles?
Bortles would just be better Drew Lock. But if Manziel came in the quarterback class today, you could, man, just a different game when he came in, even 10 years ago. It's just, and hopefully without a drinking problem and a, you know, high complex.
Yeah.
Beer review.
All right, I'll go ahead and start. Reminder, I am drinking Hipsters versus Lumberjacks. It's a red ale with vanilla. So glad they turned it red ale, not Irish red ale, because it definitely has some American hop characteristic going on there. It's a hoppier version of a red ale, so it's definitely not an Irish red base. Vanilla on here is subtly sweet. But the malt character is a little bit more like a caramely backbone. It's almost like they put it in something just short of a red IPA, not an Irish red ale. Not quite the same IBUs you'd get out of an IPA, but the American hop characteristic, I think, is what does that. So, just a little piney, a little citrusy, more caramel malt than toasted malt. Vanilla gives just like a subtle hint of sweetness, which, not really what I thought I was picking up when I grabbed this, but it's not bad by any means. It's very drinkable, but I would still take, you know, based on what I thought I was buying, I would end up going Southy Bitch Slap over this. It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
You just
need to be aware. Yeah, sounds good. So
you just need to be aware that it's an American red ale, not an Irish red ale. More American amber because of the hop character.
Ryan?
So tonight I had Scotty Karate Scotch Ale, and I didn't believe it until I actually looked at it twice, that the alcohol percentage of the thing is at 9.75. Yep. It doesn't drink like a 9.75 at all, because it goes down pretty fast, pretty smooth. It's got a nice caramel color to it, though, if you look at it, if you can size and see. It's clear.
Well, if it gets it's actually less.
Yeah, it's a lot smoother than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was expecting more of a scotch bite to it, but not as strong as I thought it would be going to be. It's actually very mellow.
That is the world of Scotch ales. High in alcohol and
delicious.
delicious. I mean, another brewery out your way in Founders makes one of my favorite Scotch ales of ever in Dirty Bastard. So,
so I actually do a Scottish Light too. That's pretty good. It's a lower ABV version of the Scotch ale. Just plugging myself there for a second, but I love Scotch ales. I got one from Four Hands out in the fridge for probably next week.
Shameless self promotions. That's what we do here.
Same shelf from Russian for shit that like nobody but Dan can.
Hey, that's fine. That's fine. Maybe one day you'll find it. All right, I am again drinking Urban Chestnut's Urban Underdog Lime. This is what you should expect from a lager with lime. It's super, super refreshing. Heavy on the lime flavor, very, very light. You know, 4.7, this beer is meant to be crushed and crushed pretty quickly. Obviously, if you're like me and you deal with acid reflux issues or heartburn issues, you probably won't be able to crush a lot of these. But on a hot summer day, this is a this would be perfect. And it's not overly sweet or tart in any direction. It's just a very, very lime, you know, forward, light, dry finish beer that is basically what they're doing, what they say. They did exactly what they advertise. It's very good, very solid.
Cool. All right, and that's our show. We'll be back next week with another kind of Dynasty Primer or kind of news episode, just something to get us through. And then the next 3 weeks will be all draft. We'll do combined quarterbacks and tight ends in the first episode, running backs and wide receivers after that. And then we'll actually take the week off of the NFL draft followed by a reaction episode. So there you go. Week off of the draft to watch the draft. Until then.
Oh, yeah.
Until next week.
Oh, yeah.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.